Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're crushing morning miles or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
I wish you could smell how bad I smell right now.
Which is just very on par for the way that we always look when we're filming the podcast.
I forget that you guys can see us if you're watching on YouTube, because most of you can't. Most of you are like Spotifyers or Apple Podcast.
Right. And you know what? It's very jarring, and it was never more apparent than the fact that I forgot to upload the episode art for like two episodes ago. And it was so extremely frightening to open the app and be like, oh, holy shit.
Like, whenever I go on YouTube.com innocently to watch people say horrible things about Cody Brown, that's really the only thing I'm using that app for. And then on my suggested will be me, one eyelash hanging on for dear fucking life. Hair so greasy, haven't washed it in probably 8 or 9 days. Bathrobe on, acting like thousands of people can't see me right now.
What? Somebody was like, do you get stage fright? And I was like, have you seen how I show up on the internet? No.
Like,
no.
I wish I did, perhaps. Because I feel like I'll look at a video of me just looking absolutely like a troll. Just not even in like a self-hate way, just in like a... I look like I haven't run a brush through my hair. Just not like anything's inherently wrong with me, but just not in a good state of being. And then I'll see how many views it had on it. And I think about it, like, imagine if that many people were sitting in an auditorium. Would I walk on the stage like this? Because whenever I do stand up, it'll literally be like 40 people. And I'm like, no, I need the Fenty foundation on my whole body.
Of course.
But on the internet where it's hundreds of thousands. Hi.
My most viewed video ever actually has 15 million views. And it was after a day of teaching where it was so fucking hot in my room. My eyeliner is literally melted down my face to like my cheekbones. 15 million.
You're beautiful. In every single way.
We're going to get copyrighted. Shut up. I can't split revenue with the random person who made our intro song and the guy that sings that song.
I split revenue with John Gosselin.
Well, that's right. But what an honor.
I know. And I followed him on Instagram and his story. Like, because I was like, hell yeah. And then I followed him. And then every time I see him post on his story, I'm like, yeah, you are a middle-aged man.
I hate when they do that.
Like, it'll just be him with some horrible sunglasses and a baseball cap, and he's like, great day at restaurant. And I'm like, okay.
They're always better in our mind, you know?
I'm going to mute him right now, actually.
Matter of fact.
Speaking of.
And that's what we do on this podcast. We get shit done. Speaking of, we sat down today and we were like, listen, what do we want to do today? What do we want to talk about? We just want to do crime again.
Crime. There's just so much crime out there. Education is like Gotham. There's just so much fucking crime. Also, I'm very new to the world of Gotham because now I'm marrying a man, so I have to fucking watch some of those things sometime. Why is it always raining? Every fucking thing we watch that's set there, it's goddamn raining. If any of you are looking for a show, because like when I make my fiance watch 10 to 14 hours of Real Housewives and he's like, can we watch one thing that I like? You got to think of something that they think they like, but you'll actually like it. And I have a recommendation if you are on this boat. It's called The Penguin. And it's like a spinoff about one of, I don't know which superhero is Gotham, but it's a spinoff of like a side character. So it's like, oh, well, we're fucking in Gotham. The character's man.
But isn't the character literally the Penguin? Isn't that the guy?
Yeah, that's the guy. But it's like actually very compelling writing. And like, I love a show where you can tell there was a woman in the writer's room. Like some of the female characters are written very dynamically, which is a rarity in the superhero universe. So if you are a woman that's being subjected to superhero media, may I recommend to you The Penguin.
Amen. I would love to see you get deep enough in this shit that you can do a stream, because when my husband puts on stuff like that, I make him put it on YouTube and put it in his AirPod. I'm like, I'm not watching that.
Well, you have children, so he shouldn't be watching TV ever. So
right.
He doesn't have rights. Like, it's your rights are done.
Nope. When it's night time and I have my special drink and my television show, I am watching somebody be murdered and I am sitting on that couch and nobody is coming. We have two TVs. There's a TV in this room for him and a TV out in that room for me, and we are not hanging out.
We have
not touch me or look at me or breathe on me.
I think we have some shows we watch together and then other shows that we like can't tolerate from each other, so we watch those separately. And I think especially when you have children, the TV just moves to completely separate. Like it becomes a sacred space that's like personal, like therapy.
Yes. You know, I used to, before I was married and had a million children, I would think to myself, like, I will never be annoyed with him. We will hang out every night. We are best friends. We are still best friends. I love him very much. I want that motherfucker so far away from me. I woke him up the other night and I was like, you need to go in the other room.
The middle of the night?
Middle of the night. He has a snoring problem that cannot be solved because it's not apnea. They wanted my husband to go on a nasal spray every night, and I'm a psycho, and I was like, no, he'll be addicted to that. He can't have that.
Okay, but no, people actually do get addicted to nasal spray.
My opera singer brother is literally addicted to nasal spray, and I was like, I can't handle one more thing going wrong in my life, so I cannot have a husband that's addicted to nasal spray.
Even though that's like pretty minor of like problems, but it's straw that'll break the camel's back.
It would be that thing that was just over the edge.
I'm the snoring part, and I'm like, if you get up, like that means you hate me. So fight
through. No, I snore too. But you know,
I'm trying to do mouth tape. It's not going well.
My brother did do hostage tape, and it was very, the packaging is really jarring.
Hostage tape?
That is the brand name. And it's just mouth tape with a little hole in it, but it's scary.
Oh, mine has the little hole in it. Because my problem is, like, in my intention, I do want to wear it, and I have noticed a difference. But when I wake up in the middle of the night, that part of my brain's not awake. So all my brain does is, like, rip it off.
Right.
Like, my brain is just like, something's on my face, get it off. So, like, yeah. I just, like, I'm like a fucking baby. We're like a dog. We have to put a cone on them. Like, do I need to sleep in a cone?
No. Well, the mouth tape makes my husband snore through his nose. So, we ixnay.
Oh, that would piss me off so bad.
Yeah. He wears, like, there's a nose thing that, like, a strip that goes across your nose.
I have tried that when I am sick.
He can only sleep on his left side. That's what we've determined.
I'll beg the question, should he ever be sleeping?
No.
Exactly.
That's for me. That's for girls.
Exactly. Sleep. Go get a second job at like an oil rig.
Seriously.
Apparently in LA they have secret oil rigs. Did you know that?
No, but I did know we have a port of Los Angeles where there is many jobs to be done.
They're always hiring.
They pay great. They pay really good.
Kind of like if you get a CDL. You should get a CDL.
What the hell is a CDL?
Commercial driver's license.
Why do you know that? Why are you so acquainted with a commercial driver's license that you can use the acronym?
They're my people. I want one so bad, but the classes are like kind of expensive and I don't want the job. I just want to have it. So it's like, I shouldn't invest in something like that.
My pap drove truck, and that is the most country statement I've ever said. But it's
my
true.
Dad drove truck without ever getting the CDL.
Scandal. Did he start when he was like 15?
Of course.
As you do.
Obviously. What else?
Yeah. I think my pap drove truck because he didn't want to talk to my grandma. Anyways, let's talk about crime.
Because he snored.
So guys.
Hey, guys.
This is Teacher Quit Talk.
Hey, guys. The state of our schools are not good. And laws are being violated. Yeah. If you think it's bad when they take away laws to protect students, you're going to hate how we tell you that none of those laws got followed to begin with. So
big laws and small laws.
Local laws, federal laws, county ordinances, many policies.
Oh, my God. Many. The Ed Code? Who is that? We don't know who that is. Here we go.
What kills me is I have taught in public school in two different states. I've taught in public school for 5 years. Mm-hmm. You are the only person who I've ever heard say the Ed Code. No single person at my real job has ever once brought that up, ever.
Well, no, and why would they?
I think if I was like, hey, do you know what the Ed Code is? They'd be like, how'd you get in this office?
When I was getting yelled at about the Pledge of Allegiance, as I told you on the last episode. That's why I knew about the Ed Code, because somebody was like, it's in the Ed Code that you have to do that every day. And I was like, shut up. Somebody just pulled a gun at pickup yesterday, okay?
Someone had a gun at pickup.
I don't give a shit about the Pledge of Allegiance right now.
So, also, yeah. Even if I did give a fuck about the Pledge of Allegiance, it seems like y'all don't give a fuck about the Pledge of Allegiance. Liberty and justice for all, for all, for all, for all. And now you're mad that I brought that up? Don't gaslight me.
Don't gaslight
me. You made me learn that.
They forced us to. My God, this sweater really is masking the pitters that I have. I feel the breeze under my pits, and I know that there's pitters under there.
What is a pitter?
When you're sweaty.
Oh, that's my whole body right now.
Oh my God. Did I tell the story on the podcast about the smelling? No. If I did, I need to tell it again. When I was pregnant, my husband smells so weird. Like it's bad, but it's not like a BO. It's not like a poopy. It's like,
it's kind of when you smell a candle and you're like, why would you make that a candle? Like, it's right. Not bad, but just like, I don't particularly enjoy it. It's just very specific.
Right. And the longer that I smell it, the more upset that it makes me that it doesn't smell good. And my husband smells so good to me typically, because we are such a wonderful biological match that obviously he smells good to me all the time. That's why we have beautiful children. Moving on. I was so devastated by this, and I was so pregnant, and I one night was like, I actually can't take this shit anymore. And he was like, you know, you don't always smell good all the time. And I was like, it's not like that. It's not like you smell bad. It's something is wrong. Something is deeply wrong within you. Something is wrong. Do you have a rotten tooth? Do you have? And then I was like smelling him. And I was like, no, it's coming from in you. It's like your stomach smells bad. It's like rotten or something. There's something inside. It's not your pores. It's not your skin. And he was looking at me like I was absolutely fucking insane, because I was.
There's something rotting inside of me.
I started crying hysterically, and I said to him, what if I am like those dogs that can smell cancer or Alzheimer's, and I am smelling something wrong with your health, and you're very, very ill, and you need to go to the doctor and the dentist to ask them what's wrong with you? And he was like, am I supposed to call them and say, my pregnant wife thinks that she's a cancer detecting dog and you need to check me for that? And I said, yes, you need to. Something is wrong with my husband.
And you're like, have him go to Turkey, where they just do the whole head to toe.
I was like, you need to fix this. And I'm bawling. Anyways, we figured out that it's whenever he drinks milk.
Maybe he's lactose intolerant.
It is simply whenever he drinks milk. Because whenever the girls drink milk, it didn't do anything to me.
Men.
Yeah. Well, actually, Jay did smell like the milk smell a couple times, and I was like scared. I was like, am I going to think my baby smells like my husband when he drinks milk? And then that spiraled me out too.
Lock her in the backyard. Lock both of them. They'll have a beautiful life together.
Enough out of me. You know, some people you just put a microphone in front of and they won't shut the fuck up. Let's talk about true crime.
I think it's a crime when your husband has milk smell.
People are going to be like, my searches on TikTok for the next 800 years are going to be Mrs. Frazzled divorce ? Because I have not shut up about my husband on this episode.
What comes up for me every time on TikTok is Elise Myers' divorce, which kills me because I yeah. don't follow her. So I'm like, why does the algorithm want her to be downfalling so bad?
I don't know.
Because I'm like, I'm not that familiar. Like, sometimes her stuff will come up, but I really don't watch it. I don't know her like that. And then it's like, Elise Myers' divorce?
Yeah.
And I'm like, leave her alone. She seems just like a normal lady.
Yeah, she really does. I don't know diddly about squat. Okay, would you like to read first or shall I read first?
Yes. Okay. I have one.
Okay, good.
Okay. Oh my God. Sorry, I tried to resize my window and everything looked weird. Hi, I could probably give you a million stories that were illegal or should have been deemed illegal at my old school that I no longer work at. Feel free to email us again. I've been waiting to spill the tea because it was the most traumatic year of my life. I'm just going to tell you two that stick out the most in my mind. I was a third year teacher teaching third grade. I had 24 kids in my class with 5 explosive behavior kiddos. I mean, evacuating the room multiple times a day for safety reasons behavior. The school was so small, we only had two rounds, just me and another teacher who went on maternity leave, which basically left me by myself planning and learning brand new reading curriculum. Mind you, our reading and writing block was supposed to be 2.5 hours with no breaks. I can see why the kids are being violent towards each other. If you made me read for 2.5 hours with no break, shit, that's probably boring as hell. Not even anything good, like Kris Jenner's memoir. I might flip a table up here as well.
I'm going to harm myself and
others. You have to say and.
Not or.
That's what kills me about the American education system is on the news, they're like, ugh. Kids' behavior has gotten so bad recently. We don't know why. Probably not because we cut recess. Let's not bring that up. Like, anyway.
Let's talk about something else, you know?
They're like, it's the red dye. And I'm not saying it's not the red dye, but like.
Oh, my God.
Listen, I think most of my outbursts as a child were because my parents didn't know I was intolerant to aspartame. I think a lot of trouble for everyone could have been saved by better pattern recognition on all parts.
Nobody wants to hear me talk about red dye.
I kind of do.
Like, if the most Republican thing about some people is that they, like, believe that red dye is, like, really bad, the most liberal thing about me is that I'm like, I think you're crazy.
You're like, it's good for you.
And I think I should be put in a cage and we should fight.
Covered in red dye.
Yeah, exactly.
Like a pool of the red dye.
Yeah.
Okay, so the kids are reading and writing for 2.5 hours with no breaks. Absolutely perfect. I had no idea what I was doing, no support from admin, coaches, or another teammate to lean on, and was drowning in behavioral issues. Instead of giving me the support I needed and begged for, my principal came up with every reason under the sun as to why my kids were failing tests and falling behind, and they all involved me. It's because you're the only thing within your principal's control. Once you accept that, life becomes easier. These included the usual excuses of poor classroom management, not setting expectations, etc. However, one I'll never forget is how she told me my kids couldn't read at grade level because I refused to use the overhead lights. Her words were, kids can't read when they can't see the words.
I know the age of this person immediately.
What's their sign?
All I know is they are my mother's age.
I hate an overhead light.
Me too.
I hate it.
I don't turn that shit on.
My old room had a lot of windows, so I would only turn on, we had a way to turn ours on where like my lights have like three strips. Only the middle one would come on at like half fire. And that's how I would leave it. And I wanted to get those little fabric covers, but apparently they like cause fires. Fucking whatever.
Whoa, whatever.
Okay. So I had an interior classroom, no windows, with at least 5 lamps for softer lighting to create a more homey environment, especially because I knew those big lights would trigger my behavior kids. And like some people, myself included, we can hear them. Like those lights are making a noise.
Yeah.
They could see just fine. They never once complained. They hated the big light too. I always asked if they needed them on and they would always yell no. I refused to turn on the big light, so she docked me points on every observation. She also gave me 14 evaluations in one semester. Cue the song Obsessed by Mariah Carey.
Literally obsessed with you.
Like, are you not busy? God damn.
Did you call HR and say my boss has a crush on me? Because I would have.
Like, she looks at me sexually.
She
like,
wants to hit.
Be like, I see her looking at my body and she wants the overhead light on so she can see it better. Like, if you want to fucking go there, I'll go there with you. Like, if you go low, I'll go under the earth to the mud. Mm-hmm. Oh, now story we're both out of hearing.
Now we both have a court date.
Oh, now you had to get a sub for me for a hearing about you. How'd that feel, motherfucker? Try me again.
So far, very illegal.
So that is their story number one. Moving on to number two.
Wait, the illegal part is that they, what is the illegal part?
She said it, that it feels illegal. I don't know if there's actual crime. She said
that a crime.
Employee harassment. The other happened at the end of the year. I had met with a student and his mom to discuss his behavior and come up with a solution to help him. My principal made me schedule the meeting and was supposed to attend, but no showed, so it was just me. That should be illegal, and I've been in that boat, not at school, but in corporate America many times, where a sales manager would be like, schedule a meeting with this client, and then the client would get there, and I'd be like, ah, we just missed ya.
Just missed ya.
Okay, so the meeting went great. We made a visual that he was excited about and mom was happy. I was very proud of myself for doing it alone. The next day during my planning, which is at 8 a.m., I went to show my principal the visual just to confirm that I met with mom. That was your first mistake. You shouldn't have done that. Because they didn't show up, so clearly they don't give a fuck. So you should have matched their energy and not brought it up. But anyway.
Care less.
My principal dismissed my visual and work, immediately pulled me into her office, which she has done many times during my planning, to ridicule me or make me cry from telling me how bad of a teacher I was. I wasn't surprised to see a rep from HR was sitting there. I had already resigned from the district at this point and just hadn't sent the formal email to my principal. The HR rep basically tried to non-renew me, but I had technically resigned, so it backfired on her. After the meeting, the rep asked me if I needed time or someone to watch my class when they came back from specials. I replied, "This is actually the least traumatic thing that has happened to me in this office. I'm used to having to wipe my tears that she has caused before 9 a.m. and then teach all day."
Oh my God, it's so sad.
I love you for saying that to HR. I love, like, HR, even though HR sucks, I have encountered individuals in HR who are very good at their job and professionals and want employees to feel safe and happy and taken care of and whatever. So I think that was very professional and nice of her to offer to have someone watch your class and give you a few minutes. Yeah. And I just wish I could have seen her fucking face when you said that.
It would have been so good.
But yeah, they said those are the things that felt illegal but technically weren't. And that, yeah.
It counts.
The big light kills me, especially the children screaming no. You should have done that when she was in the room observing you. This is how you should have played it. Because I know you said it was, I think, your first or second year. She comes in for the observation. Be like, "Okay, kids, we're about to start our reading time. Do we want the big light on so that we can see our letters? I'm going to have everyone put your head down. Raise your hand if you want the big light on," and then maintained the firmest fucking eye contact possible with her, like the heaviest eye contact, and then just kept going. Proceed. Yes,
that is exactly the way to handle it. God. Okay, let me see here. What do we have? So many true crimes. This one says illegal theater production, and I want to read that one because yes. I went to a theater school growing up that not only was I groomed horrifically, but they always did illegal productions of shit.
Like, you mean they didn't have like the license to do it? Oh, okay.
He would just like copy and paste the libretto or whatever and be like, "All right, we're doing Shrek," or whatever the fuck it was.
Call me controversial. I literally don't care about that at all. Like, Shrek has enough money. Like, if you want to do Shrek, like, I feel like Shrek is like Mickey Mouse now. Like, it's in the public domain. Like,
yeah. I mean, the illegal thing was that he was selling us weed and grooming us. That was really the
yeah. Like, I don't care about the copyright. I care about the grooming.
Summer break is here, and while kids are thrilled to hit pause on school, you might be wondering how to keep their brains engaged without turning your living room into a classroom. Whether your child is catching up, staying sharp, or racing ahead, IXL makes learning a seamless and honestly fun part of your summer. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are already using. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade, and it is proven to boost test scores in almost every state. It's personalized, engaging, and designed to actually help kids understand what they're learning, not just memorize it. In our house, we love IXL because it's bite-sized practice that fits into our day. Whether your child needs extra help or just wants a challenge, IXL adapts to their level, personality, and pace so they feel supported and confident. It works for all your kids, too. One subscription covers everything from ABCs to calculus, and it's more affordable than a single hour of tutoring. With built-in explanations, videos, and clear progress tracking, it's trusted by the best. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning and get IXL now. Teacher Quit Talk listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at www.ixl.com/today. Visit www.ixl.com/today to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price. Yeah. Anyways, when I was a senior in high school, our theater teacher asked us what we wanted our spring musical to be. We all said Legally Blonde, but only if we could do the regular version. Yeah, valid, they go on to say, because the junior version cuts a ton of characters and songs. It always does. I actually did the junior version of Into the Woods when I was a child, and they stop after the first act. Like, the last song is Ever After, Ever After, and no, somebody listening to the podcast knows what the fuck I'm talking about. Redacted doesn't. Anyways.
I know. I'm not a theater kid. Sorry. I respect you guys' culture immensely. I'm just totally not a part of it. I feel the same way about Canadians.
Same. Yeah, that's a good comparison. So then, okay, continuing on. Our director promised to only do this show if he got approval for the full version. Note, this was an independent study program where kids were on campus, a large office building, 1 to 2 days a week for their chosen extracurricular activities. So it was a very big deal to us what our spring musical was, and we all took it very seriously. Every theater kid takes their spring musical very seriously, yeah. I think.
Y'all bring an intensity to extracurriculars that's just genuinely unmatched.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember when I got Belle my senior year, everybody went to Eaton Park without me and talked shit after that.
Wow. I'm sorry. Haters.
You couldn't carry a tune, Katie. I like love you so much.
Like, it's just, we all have our own strengths and weaknesses.
Mm-mm. Yeah, absolutely. So on the first day of the new semester, we all auditioned and we waited a week for the cast list with bated breath. Roles were revealed and it was exciting. I was Pilar, a role I was happy enough with for my senior year show. Then the director dropped an absolute bomb at the first rehearsal. Our principal had changed her mind about allowing the full version, and our director had been forced to send back the full version scripts and get the junior ones. This was not the production we wanted. It is a bad show. So I personally approached the director and asked if I could please take the junior version script. And while watching the MTV pro shot of Legally Blonde, the musical that is readily available in YouTube, comb through the script and add back in as much original material as possible. I'm talking lines added back, whole songs being put back in, the whole shebang, whatever we thought we could get away with. For those that don't know, this is illegal. We didn't know as students, but our director had to know, and he still allowed us to do this. On top of all this, the administration took a sudden interest in what the theater department was up to, when previously they had not cared even one bit. The principal sent teachers to spy on our rehearsals to make sure the content wasn't too scandalous, but it didn't matter because closing night, we added lines back in that even our director had said were too scandalous for a high school production. Miraculously, no one got in trouble, and it was an extremely fun production to be in. But looking back on it as an adult who went on to minor in theater in college, I now know this was super illegal and unhinged, and we should have just picked a different musical to put on.
No, I disagree.
You know, the things that we did as high school theater people were absolutely freaking insane. Like, I was in a probably illegal production of Rocky Horror Picture Show at 15 wearing lingerie.
I bet you like, looked awesome. I bet you, I in that moment, you were like, I feel so fucking cool. Like,
I didn't even look a little good. I have the pictures on a private album on my Facebook that I go back and look at from time to time, and I'm like, not even cute, if you're wondering. But anyways, wow, the things that we did, and we just didn't realize that they were absolutely very, very strange behaviors. Well, what are you going to do?
Theater kids are a really specific type of weird that I deeply appreciate. I wish we had them at my school, but they're like, because we don't really have a theater program. So like, we have them, but they don't know they're a theater kid. They're like not, like, I see it as like a little twinkle inside of them. And I'm like, if we had a theater program, you would like be like ascending into such an intense person. But like, I see you. I can always tell when we watch Hamilton, some of them will get like really excited. Like they come to my desk and they're like, I really like that movie. And I'm like, oh, I see.
Okay. They
don't even
know who they are.
Like, I'm like, all right. Like, I'm like, okay. This, like, I see them awakening when I show them Hamilton. They're like, and they're like, that, they're like, it's not like a play though. And I'm like, yeah, no, it's different. No. I'm like, there's so many of them. Google it. Like,
yeah. They're called a musical.
I'm like, Mamma Mia, personal favorite of mine.
Oh my God. Yes. Look up Stephen Sondheim. Tell them that next time.
Have you ever seen, I obviously can't say this to children, but it is one of my favorite shows, Kinky Boots?
I have not seen it, which sounds horrible. But there's a lot of shows that I always thought I would go to see on Broadway that I've never seen. Because this is obviously...
I've seen like a really disproportionate amount of Broadway shows because my mom used to have to go to New York for work a lot. So like we would get like, you know, you can get like shitty last minute seats on weeknights, like pretty cheap. Yeah. So I've been to like a bunch of shit. That's so really cool. I'm like theater kid adjacent. Like, I appreciate you guys' culture.
Yes. Well, that's why you do stand up.
Yeah.
Here we go.
You want me to do one or you want to do another one?
I can do another one if you want.
Yeah, do one and then I'll do this long one.
Okay, perfect. This one says, this is long, but I'm not apologizing. Not sure if this falls in the category of illegal. Okay, this is another person. Okay, not sure if this falls in the category of illegal, but they say, so I switched schools and roles with my district after the 2023-2024 school year. I moved from a school that I loved but had gotten a bad principal to a school I knew no one at, and transitioned from gen ed to special education where there was so much illegal things happening, but whatever. There always is, unfortunately. I was having a terrible time, thanks for asking. Around September, there was a tax referendum vote in my city to increase funding for public schools. I live in the South, so surprise, surprise, it didn't pass. Because it didn't pass, all the schools in the district were going to lose units. Instead of losing the random people at CO, but y'all already know they weren't going to do that. My principal basically told me that, without saying the actual words, that my job was going to be cut. She said, look for anything else in the district. So I was already hating my life in special education because, heaven forbid, I forget to capitalize the right letters in an IEP. I'm exaggerating, but only barely. So I applied all through the district and took my dream job as a library media specialist. I don't know about the capital letter joke. Please.
No, I think she means like, I know in IEPs a lot of districts and like admin are really psycho about them because it is a legal document, so if you make like one little typo or like capitalize something incorrectly, so like,
oh, yeah,
let's say like the name of the school, like if mm-hmm. you put like redacted high school will provide but you didn't capitalize redacted high school, your admin might be like, that's fraud, it's fraud, you're fucking up, we're gonna get sued. Yeah. Like things that like are really not that consequential, but I guess technically it is a legal document and capitalization does legally make a difference. So like kind of, yeah.
Oh shit.
Because I think like,
it's a lot of pressure.
If it's not capitalized, it's like not the true name or something. I don't know. Like I know it could make things, especially with capitalization of names and things, like a student names. So, like I get it's important for it to be good, but I think like to a point, like if you're writing, like my friend had to write 16 IEPs this year. Like there's going to be a mistake somewhere.
Yeah.
Like you're a human being.
You're a human being. Anyways, okay, continuing on. Oh no. Fast forward 2 weeks after the school year ended, and I read the board meeting minutes, as I always do because I love the tea. Same. And not only did they hire someone for my job, but it was one of the teachers on my caseload. My job wasn't being cut. This redacted, she says, but not you. I'm assuming she meant the word bitch.
What if it was me? Like, what if like one of my coworkers wrote in?
It was you. This bleep just wanted to fire me without actually firing me. I was so hurt and offended and betrayed, as you should be, because it's actually illegal to not woman up and just do what you need to do. That sucks. All in all, I low-key hated my life on that role at that school, and I have my dream job now, so I'm very happy everything worked out the way it did, and I'm not sure if what she did was illegal, but it freaking should be. Anyway, love you. Bye. Pretend you don't see my email signature with my new school name, okay? I don't see anything. All right. There you have it. Do you want to read one?
Yes.
Or do you want me to read one?
This is a long one. I'll read this one. I love their first line of it because it's so me. This feels minor in hindsight, but it still bothers me. Exactly.
That's what this is all about.
Exactly. In 2022, I was doing a practicum at a relatively large charter school in my city. It was ... not good. During a staff meeting, which we were required to attend, we were told that count day was coming up. In case this isn't common language, count day refers to the days that a state uses for official attendance numbers for budgetary purposes. Being absent on count days means that students are not counted towards our school total and we can miss out on funding from the state. Do you know how your schools did this? Because I know how we did ours, and it's very different in my two places. So when I taught in Florida, we called it FTE week, and it was like the third or fourth week of school. And if you were absent all day, every day of FTE week, we took you off the roster, and you were like not considered a part of our school. This kind of sucked because sometimes a kid would be absent for a whole week if they got like sick or something, and then to add them back is like kind of a pain in the ass. So the way that where I am now does it, I think, is a little better. It's 3 days, but they're over the course of a month on different days of the week. So if you're absent for all of those three random days, I think we do one in September and one in April. If you are absent every class period, every single one of those 3 days, then you're taken off. But if you come to even one class on one day, we keep you on. So my admin is like really intense about our attendance that week, because if we forget to take attendance, they're all marked present. So what always happens is one person forgets to take attendance, and now we're like stuck with this kid that like moved to France or something.
Yes, we call it norm day, and I genuinely don't know what happens. I just know that things might be different after norm day.
Yikes.
It's like within the first 5 or 6 weeks of school, I didn't look it up, but it's like, you know, the beginning of the school year, norm day happens, and it's when you like tally the actively enrolled students, and like classroom sizes can shift and teachers can shift and classes can collapse or whatever. But the beginning of the school year is so chaotic for me that I'm just like, yeah, it's norm day. Okay, all right, I'll be here. You tell me who's in my class.
You're like, friends. I feel normal. Thanks for checking in.
You will come bring the children if there's new ones. Yes. Okay. Bye. Like, I just don't think about it. So,
When I taught in Florida, our FTE week was like the second or third week of school. It was pretty early. And I remember like when someone was like, it's FTE week, I was like, I physically cannot handle one new piece of information, because like it's the first week of your first year teaching. So I literally was just like, I cannot get involved with that. And then the following year, I was like, just wondering, what is FTE week? And they were like, this is your second year. Why didn't you ask? And I was like, I wasn't doing well, but now I'm curious.
Yeah.
So like, are you going to tell me? Or
that's so real. Like, I mean, I know that it's because like resources, at least in California, I shouldn't say a blanket statement, but in California, like resources are allocated based on attendance.
Yeah.
So, you know, that it's important to know how many are attending so that you know how many resources you need for a Hemplo.
Because for high school, we care about it for two reasons. One, because of resources, we get money based on each kid. But honestly, the part that my admin has cared more about is that if that kid is on our roster and we don't standardize test them, we can get in trouble for that. And then it'll bring our graduation rate down. Because then, like, if they're on the roster but don't graduate because they didn't take any test. So that's why they're like, get them out of here.
Yeah.
Back to the people. So they said about the count day, in case this isn't common language, this refers to when they get their official attendance numbers for funding and whatever. I had already seen some shady attendance policies. The school didn't count tardies at all for middle school. Unofficial policy was for you to mark a student present, even if Unofficial policy was for you to mark a student present if any person had verified that they were in school at all that day. In my law, the state explicitly states you should only mark a student present if you have seen them in your classroom during instructional time. I've seen this happen as well, because like if it's middle school or high school, they have multiple periods. You can be marked absent in one and not in another one. Because sometimes I'll have a kid in my class and they have a little absent in a previous class. And I'm like, what happened there? The assistant principal of this middle school told us, and I'm quoting to the best of my ability, make sure to mark a student present even if you see them later on in the day, and winked. Years later, I ended up taking a job there because no one else would hire me. Not only was that assistant principal still working there, but I had learned that in the years since that meeting, the entire district had been audited by the state. It was so egregious that we had our attendance audited every 2 weeks. I have since quit that job and found a job at a public school where I got a raise of about $8,000. On my way out, I recorded a meeting with my principal. I'm in a one-party state. That means you can legally record if one party consents. He told me he was upset I didn't ask him to record. I told him our state has one-party consent laws. I have a recording of that meeting somewhere easily accessible. If you want the tea, please send it to us. We will literally play it on here. He tried again to get me to stop recording. I didn't budge. He moved the conversation topic after that. I truly believe he was trying to intimidate me into not recording because he knew he wanted to say say something shady. Another story about this place, if you're curious, this is not illegal, but it pisses me off. One of the big controversies about this school is that they talk about restorative practices, but do nothing for discipline. Oh, you're going to get me riled. You're going to get me so riled. It's extremely egregious, especially as someone who is pretty well educated on restorative justice. While I was there, I had a lot of conflict with our, quote, restorative coordinator. He was a friend, not an adult, to most students. I once called him out during a lunch meeting because he said we should be calling more parents. I asked how we can call more parents if we're in meetings like this. He apparently was very hurt by this interaction. His solution was to call a meeting so that he, the AP, and I could work through our differences. This meeting went poorly. His hand shook the entire time. He counted the number of referrals I've sent. It was weird. In my rage that night, I had a friend with a secret LinkedIn account look for his resume. By the way, if you guys ever want me to do that for you, Miss Redacted is on LinkedIn and she will peruse. And I've been debating getting the premium one. This might push me to get it. His highest level of education is a bachelor's of arts in digital and television media. Is this the AP? Or no, I think it's the restorative coordinator. He was about 5 years older than me, but we had spent the same time working inside of schools, or in his case, at the Boys and Girls Club of America.
Unreal.
It's the bachelor's of art in television for me.
I feel like we need to go into LinkedIn's more. That just inspires me to check that out a little more often.
I love looking at people's LinkedIn's, especially like if any visitor comes to our school, I'm pulling up that LinkedIn.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Like when that guy that told me to put the student feedback on the wall looked at his LinkedIn.
And you were like, I know more than you.
The very common thread among people in my district that I hate, that I see on LinkedIn, they all have the same vibe. They go to like very, and like not that any school is a bad school or whatever, but like very small, random, non-prestigious schools. And then they teach for 2 to 5 years. And then they beep bop around in random administrative positions while they get more degrees from random bullshit universities. A lot of them are like Christian online schools. And then they get like the master's in educational leadership and like the different little cloudy ass email signature degrees. And then they become wherever office is going to send them to make my life hell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they really do be skipping around.
Beep bopping.
Beep and bopping. I have one that is kind of, I have a bit of experience in this. Not quite this bad, I don't think, but oh my God, sounds very familiar to me. Here we go. My first year, I taught fourth grade at a semi-prestigious charter school. I didn't know much and my admin preyed on that. That yes, they will. A huge lack of support or resources, a huge amount of unfair expectations and condensation. And they really do this. And if I knew what I knew now when I was teaching in charter, I would be such a bitch. But here we go. I had a little boy in this class who had very obvious psychological issues. He would draw disfigured creatures with bloody eyes, would destroy my classroom when he didn't get his immediate way. He once brought a toy knife, which he chased kids around the playground with. Every time the admin essentially said, "You need to manage your class better," when I asked for help or resources. And his parents would say, "Well, then you should let him do what he wants." It came to a head in February when one of my girls reported to me that he had written her a threatening note. It was a full front and back page describing violent sexual things he would do to her. So horrible, I nearly threw up. I reported it to the admin. He went to the office for 30 minutes. Then he came back and I was told it was handled. I got an email from the girl's mom that night who was incredibly upset that I had ignored her child's fear and that I hadn't told her. I CC'd my principal in when I responded to say that I was so sorry, but I was told it had been handled. The admin called me to the office the next day and got on to me for throwing them under the bus, and that they didn't plan to expel this boy because it's a bad look to expel kids. I have absolutely heard that myself. That is a yep. real thing. That is one of those tightropes. It's like you don't want to be overly expelling kids, but at the same time, if it's crazy shit going on, you have to do something. You can't do nothing.
Yeah. Our fuck it. I'll say this. It was on the news. Our superintendent, it was a while ago, faced like a lot of backlash because some students assaulted a teacher, like literally just basically jumped this older guy. It wasn't at my school, so I don't like know anything detailed about it, but the superintendent basically said like we shouldn't treat, I'm trying to remember what he said. He said something about basically not punishing them, and a lot of people got really pissed off about it. Along those lines of basically saying like it's a bad look, or it's like, I think he said like it's not a solution to remove them from the building. I think that's what it was. He said like, oh, it's not a solution to just remove these students from school. And I was like, okay, you're kind of right, but also like, is the solution letting them jump a literal teacher? Like that, like that's where you want to land on this?
Yeah. I know. It's this, it continues and says, oh, wow. This girl's mom rolled up with a state law that he had to be expelled and a lawyer and said that she'd take them to court if he wasn't expelled.
I love parents like this.
Get it. The kicker was the boy's mom then claimed I had twisted the class against her child and written the letter myself. My God. The mental gymnastics you have to do to believe that a teacher wrote that letter. And whatever, it continues and says all of his emotional problems were because he read the Goosebumps books and told my admin I deserved to be fired for letting him be bullied because no one would play with him. My admin tried to assign me behavior management PD in response and then was shocked that I didn't return. That is fucking crazy. I read the Goosebumps books. Why didn't I turn out like that? I have ADHD too. I was bullied. You wrote a letter about me, didn't you?
Just kidding.
God. Obviously.
Things are not good. Huh?
Things are truly not good. I mean, that, I will say a lot of, I know that's a very prevalent issue at charter schools. It's also a very prevalent issue at regular traditional public schools because it's just the behaviors are at such a level that it is actually fucking insane. Like, things that are going on in schools right now are very, very crazy.
And like, not to be like, oh, the fucking woke agenda, but from my perspective, what happened that I saw is that when society pointed out that there were a lot of disparities in who was getting expelled, special education students are more likely to, students of color are more likely to be expelled, boys are more likely to be expelled, like a disparity in a variety of arenas. When that was kind of brought to the conversation and brought to the light, I feel like we had such an incredible opportunity as a society to really actually deal with that problem and really talk about equity in schools and how to make safe schools for every single student. And instead, what happened is district lawyers basically told the superintendent, we're gonna fucking get sued, cut the shit out, stop giving any punishments for anyone, because everyone is so paralyzed by like an inability to talk about equity and to have real conversations and so afraid of lawsuits that we just now go to this place where there's no consequences for anything, which in my view is inherently more inequitable. Like, that is furthering inequality to not have safe schools. Because ultimately, if you're letting one child be violent because you're afraid of getting sued, that is inequitable to the victims of that child's violence. You just shifted, like, the equity issue into a different format.
Yeah. And I, not to self-plug, but I wrote a Substack about this. It's in the Substack I wrote about the school-to-prison pipeline. But it's also about it's like the juxtaposition of like, we know that this is a problem, we know that there are certain groups being inequitably pinged with like discipline, and it's inequitably harsh, like it's harsher against certain groups of people, like obviously kids that are Black and disabled and people of color and blah blah blah, all of that stuff that we know we've talked about a million times, but it is such, like you said, a disservice to them. It's really frustrating to be in that position, because I was really sad my last year teaching, because I had a student who, he desperately needed help. He hadn't needed help since kindergarten. I actually had two of them, but one student was Black, and I had the school psychologist look at me and say, we cannot put another Black student on an IEP because it's a bad look.
And like, that's horrific. Said, so then this child doesn't get the services they need because it'd be bad PR?
I freaked the fuck out. I was like, this child has been, his family has been begging for help. And to have the psychologist who's supposed to be helping not give him the services he needed was so fucking heartbreaking. And it was It's like, I understand that there are inequities, but for you to do that is so, so fucked up.
And like,
not help him because of that.
I think an appropriate way to handle it is like this conversation I had. This is a long time ago. I had a student who was being very, very, very disruptive, making threats towards other students, had gotten into tons and tons of fights, not in my room, but in other ones. And I don't remember who it was. It was either an administrator or a counselor made a comment to me. And y'all know I teach in a predominantly Black school. So this comment was not the best thing I wanted to hear as an educator who cares about her students. But they basically said something along the lines of, like, we were talking about this student and the issues that they had, and this person at my school is basically saying, like, oh, so, like, all the other Black men were just going to, like, punish them for this and whatever. Basically, kind of, they didn't direct it at me. This was in a meeting with multiple people. But I did feel it in the sense of, like, it kind of felt like they were trying to accuse me and the other people in the meeting of just, like, shoving this problem away. Like, we didn't want to deal with it, so we just wanted him gone. And, like, I was never advocating for him to be expelled or anything. So they were like, oh, so it's just going to be, like, another Black child that gets kicked out of school, is I think what they said. And the way I approached the conversation is I said, like, I firmly believe that the other 29 Black children in this classroom deserve to be in a space where they feel safe and are not afraid. And so I said, like, do those other 29 Black children, are we just going to accept that they have to live with that violence and they have to live with that fear? And that's just fine. Because to me, like, that is inequitable, that I think, like, if people have this perception that, like, oh, there's violence in this school, like, the vast majority of these children are not violent. Why are you just accepting that they have to be in an environment of chaos and violence because of socioeconomic, race, ability, disability, whatever, that you're just accepting, oh, well, this environment is an environment with violence, when, like, we can and should want better for children, and kicking children out is not the solution to violence, but doing nothing is even less the solution to violence.
It's a disservice to our kids, and it's insulting.
And that's insane about the comment about if we put another Black child on an IEP. I've never run into, like, no one said anything like that to me. That's crazy.
I went insane. I was like, I was so, so upset by that, because for a million reasons, but I was just like, what are you doing? It was just such a clear-cut case of, we have all of the data, we have everything for this child to get the help that they need.
Receipts, timeline,
literally
proof, for fucking years, everything,
for years. And, like, his kindergarten teacher was coming to me and being like, I cannot believe that we still haven't gotten help. So, happy ending, he did get help the next year, and he is, like, kicking ass. He got moved to a new school that was like would be able to help him and meet all of his needs in the same district, and he's just crushing it.
That's good. I love when children get the services they need, and then you just, like, see them excel. And it's so horrible when you see children that don't have the services they need, and you're just like, oh, Jesus Christ.
Yes, because he was such a cool kid in the sense that, like, yeah, he couldn't read, but he was so emotionally intelligent. He was so kind and so enthusiastic about school that I was like, you're going to be a really cool adult one day. Like, I could totally see him growing up and becoming, like, some kind of, like, a speaker or an artist or something like that. And I was like, school's going to be a blip on your radar, because I just feel like you're going to grow up and do really cool shit, you know?
Yeah.
And apparently he's well on his way, so that's good. But God, it's just the things that we see, it's like really horrible.
And that's why we're really going to keep doing true crime, because, like, I'm tired of witnessing literal crimes. I'm tired of witnessing laws being broken. And I feel like, okay, we'll get vulnerable. Like, I know that y'all think, because you hear me on this podcast, I know that y'all think I'm so transparent and I'm, like, giving it to you on the real, which I am. But there are so many things that I have witnessed with my own eyes that have happened to me, that have happened to my students, that have happened within buildings I've taught in, that I don't feel comfortable coming out and talking about. One, because sometimes I'm not the victim and I wouldn't want someone to talk about my situation. And then also, like, I do fucking work there. Like, I do have to go back to work the following day and go see these people. So I, as, like, self-preserving as it is, I like hearing about y'all's crimes, because, like, A, it make not the crimes you did, but the crimes you witnessed. A, it makes me feel like it's good to talk about these things, and I'm able to talk about it without like putting my own health insurance on the line, because it's just like, and I think school leaders know that, like school leaders know that we're afraid to speak up, and school leaders know how easy it is to silence us. And like, I think I'm harder to silence than most, and I'm definitely not silent, but like, I don't tell y'all the worst probably 15%, because like that would just open a Pandora's box. And it's like so many things that y'all submit I have seen with my own eyes in my own buildings. Like, that's why sometimes I wonder like, oh, do people lie when they submit things to us? But I'm like, even if they are, like that has happened other places. So I feel fine talking about it.
Right. Like it checks out because you've seen it. And yeah. One thing that I know that I've said this before, but like since leaving the classroom, I've been able to talk about so many things so much more than I would when I was in the classroom.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause like you just can't go there sometimes. And it also comes down to like, are you going to basically air out this stuff and maybe lose your job? Or are you going to stay and be a person that can fight for your students in meetings like the ones that I was in, where mm-hmm. you can go in and be like, you're fucking like crazy.
Advocate on the day to day.
Yeah. It's like you can advocate broadly and loudly, or you can stay in your school and you can advocate for them while you're there. And both are very valid, I think, but it's just different.
Yeah. So much to think about. I wish that we would follow laws, but maybe one day, probably not today or within the next couple of years, but soon.
And it's these little laws that are also like so easy to break.
Yeah.
Because they're just like fudging one thing here, one thing there.
Like, we see you.